Well, at the recent Governor's Energy Excellence Awards, we caught up with Valerie Brader. Valerie is Michigan's Senior Policy Advisor on Energy and the Executive Director of the Michigan Agency for Energy. She's also been a frequent guest on this program. Valerie, good to see you again.
Great to see you, too.
What about those Energy Excellence Awards? I mean, exciting. The future is bright in Michigan.
It really is, and the amazing impact was there. We heard from Visteon that spent less than $5,000 to get $250,000 a year in savings. We heard about the Innovator of the Year who invented a heat pump that Marine's rural residents can save thousands a year on propane, get it installed in one day at a quarter of the cost. It's really exciting things. And then homeowners who don't even pay electric bills anymore, they've saved so much money. I mean, we are really seeing amazing innovation here in Michigan, from people inventing stuff to installing stuff, and then seeing really how much we do waste. I mean, it's wonderful to celebrate the reductions, but if you can spend $5,000 to save $250,000 a year, more businesses ought to be looking at this.
Well, one hit me personally. You mentioned the personal impact. Geothermal system, that's 25% of the cost of traditional geothermal that hooks right up to your well.
Yeah, that was really invented by someone here in Michigan. And so Michigan homeowners have been some of the first in the country to be able to benefit from that. That's really exciting because it shows that here in Michigan, we can invent things, we can build things, and then they really benefit Michigan residents. It's a really great story.
When we talk about energy, people tend to want to go to the source of that energy, wind, solar, or what have you. People don't talk enough about conservation and wise use.
Yeah, and I think some of it is, well, they're saying, oh, I just have to put on a sweater. And what they don't understand is, actually, I can get you a new furnace. You can keep that thermostat the temperature it's always been and spend a lot less and basically waste a lot less energy. That helps our environment. That helps your bills. It helps our overall reliability as a state because we don't need as much. So there are a lot of win-wins out there. And so folks who sort of shy away from doing anything, it's really in their benefit often to get something done.
The pillars we talked about the last time you were on the program, reliability, affordability, protecting the environment. Remind our listeners.
Yeah, so basically we look at everything through a lens of adaptability. What's going to let us be in the best position no matter what the future throws at us? And when you're thinking about that, one of the first things you do is eliminate energy waste. But that's because no matter what other element, what other pillar you're looking at, it's a winner. If you're talking about affordability, this makes your bills lower. If you're talking about reliability, it helps us all not to need that last bit of energy. And then on the protection of the environment, the friendliest thing you can do for the environment is not need to produce anything to feed that need that you had before that now you don't. So that's one of the reasons when we look at things in energy decisions, you have to look at all of those aspects, but energy waste reduction will win every single time. And it's something that can really drive Michigan's energy future.
Well, I know waste reduction is a big one on the agenda for the Michigan Agency for Energy. Let's talk about a few other topics that are swirling around. Renewable energy portfolio, 10% by 2015. We hit that. The governor's talking about maybe 25% or so by 2025. But there are a couple of Senate bills out there that mitigate that. Where are we with renewable energy right now in terms of beyond the 10%? And what about those Senate bills?
So what the governor actually did was look at Michigan's energy future and say, hey, what if we just did what was cheapest? Looking from 2008 to 2025, where would we be? And he said, if you look at reducing energy waste plus renewables, we would be getting between 30 and 40% of our energy from those two sources just by doing what's cheapest, which has really changed a lot of the world. The renewable portfolio standard that you mentioned, you know, we had something in the law that said, hey, it can't cost more than $3. Well, that went away because now it doesn't cost more than the traditional at all for DT and consumers, two of our biggest utilities. So when you're understanding that these old trade-offs, you got to look beyond them and you've got to be able to say, let's make sure that when something makes economic sense and environmental sense and it helps our reliability, we don't have any artificial barriers in the way. We're taking full advantage because the world has changed and we need to make sure that our laws reflect the fact that, hey, that renewable may not be more expensive and that having energy waste reduction up to the max is the right thing to do.
Some would argue that a mandate was in order to get the 10% and was effective, but a mandate may be needed to get to the 25 or 35 or renewable. I don't think the governor's there with another legislative mandate, but clarify that for me.
Well, one thing I want to clarify is that you said 25% renewable. The 30 to 40% that the governor's talking about is a combination of renewables and efficiency. So that 30% would be if we didn't have any new renewables. That 40% would be if we filled all of our needs with renewables, and we're probably somewhere in the middle. And what the governor sees is that there are some obstacles in the current law to doing that. There's a limit to how much our electric companies are allowed to spend and how much our gas companies are allowed to spend to do efficiency. Well, that's silly. If it's more cost effective than anything else, why would you limit that? We have a law that says I can give you pre-approval to build a big new plant, but I can't give you pre-approval to build a renewable plant. We have a mandate that was built on the theory that renewables would be more expensive, so you had to mandate that they get built because otherwise things would step in front of them. These are a lot of outdated assumptions that our law has built into it. We need to step back and say, if our laws are creating barriers to the most adaptable future, which is a future that's more protective of the environment, more reliable, and more affordable, then we've got to fix that law.
Let's move to another subject. Enbridge Line 5 has been in the news. The latest development, a couple of contractors have been selected to do the risk assessment. Where's that process?
So we have announced both funding for and selection of contractors to do an independent review for the state of alternatives to that pipeline, as well as any risk of a maximal event, meaning a spill and what it would take to clean that up. We're very eager to get those contracts in place, and we're hoping that we will have those analyses completed in a year. There will be opportunities for public feedback before anything is finalized, and that information is something that we're very eager to get because we think it'll be very valuable to the state.
And you mentioned this, you alluded to it, but it's important for our listeners to know that Enbridge has agreed to pay for those analyses.
They have. They've also agreed that they'll put the money in escrow so that no matter what those reports say, they will end up paying, which is something that really, I think, cements their part of making sure that when we're thinking about alternatives, when we're thinking about risk, it is worthwhile to hire really good professionals to get the right answer. And they were willing to fund it. And they were also willing to give up control over that funding and those reports.
My guest is Valerie Brader. She is the executive director of the Michigan Agency for Energy. Valerie, let's turn to one of your new initiatives, recently announced, something called the Clean Energy Manufacturing Roadmap. What's that?
Well, we've gotten a piece of funding that we're really excited about to help a lot of small manufacturers in Michigan take advantage of resources that our national labs provide and really make sure that we're looking at what takes us to that next new manufacturing future that's cleaner, helping to understand what the barriers are and create that roadmap either to remove those barriers or get around them. But we're very excited about the opportunity for some of Michigan's small businesses, especially to be able to interface with a lot of the national labs where there's a big innovation going on. One of our innovators of the year at the Energy Excellence Awards has been getting some DOE funding to work with the national labs to advance his ideas. So we're excited to be able to have that partnership.
So if I'm a small business owner listening to this interview, how do I get hooked up with the roadmap?
You ask the Michigan Agency for Energy how to do that. You can find us online at www.michigan.gov/energy.
And speaking of the Michigan Agency for Energy, when we talked to you last, you had just started in this capacity. It's a bit over a year later. What are a couple other things that you're going to be doing as we look for over the next 4 or 6 months that are at the top of the agenda?
Well, one of the things we're working to do is really look at Michigan's long-term reliability. We don't have a system right now where everyone contributes to our reliability. We now have to import power to meet our minimum reliability standards. And just recently this month, the chair of the Public Service Commission and the Michigan Agency for Energy asked the folks who run our grid, look, if the same thing happened in 2012 when two nukes went down on a real hot day and our grid stayed up, if that happened in 2018 with some of the closures that are predicted not just here in Michigan but also in Illinois, would that still be true? We're asking that now because, number one, if the answer is yes, great. Our safety margin looks good. We can go forward. And if the answer is no, we can both make sure that safety margin gets raised. So the answer is yes, and do some of the things like reduce energy waste, really ramp that up, help people learn about programs that can save them money and help the state for reliability, get those in place. So we're working very closely with the grid operator to talk about Michigan's long-term reliability on a number of fronts and just make sure for that we'll have more years like 2012 where something big happens and no one knows it, and fewer years like 2003 when something big happens and everybody notices.
Well, Valerie, it's always a pleasure. Your answers are succinct, most informative. Great work with the Michigan Agency for Energy. A lot of work ahead of you, but maybe about a year from now we'll get you back on. We love these updates, and Michigan's energy future seems to be glowing exceedingly bright.
We are doing a lot of really exciting things, and we always enjoy talking to you about them.